Now let's turn in the scriptures now to Luke chapter 10. And in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 25 through 42. And so the last half of the chapter of Luke 10, Luke 10 verse 25 through 42. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25. These are the words of our good God. And the lawyer stood up and put him, that is Christ, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came up upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered by so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." That's the word of the Lord. Well, Jesus, at the beginning of what we read, verse 25, he instructs a lawyer that to inherit eternal life, he must keep all of the law perfectly. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the greatest commandment. And you love your neighbor as yourself, the second greatest commandment. "Well, who is your neighbor?" the lawyer asked. "It's anyone you come in contact with, especially the least. It's the rich or the poor. It's the Jew or the Gentile. It's the male or the female." And so this man, who was well-to-do, the lawyer, rich and a Jew, Jesus called him to consider the man who was left half dead, having been robbed and beaten. He looks like a poor man. He looks unclean. Think of that in the Jewish sense. He's unclean. He's your neighbor. And so the priest, the Levite, who should know better, they pass by and do nothing. They avoid the man completely because in their minds the man is unclean. But a Samaritan who is looked down upon by the Jews, they're like half Jews, he takes care of his neighbor, the man who's left for dead. Now why would anyone care for such a one and keep God's law? It's because they've trusted in the Lord for their salvation. They believe the Lord. They want, because of this, to follow His law. And if Christ did what the Samaritan did for us, then we must do likewise for our neighbors. This is what Christ did for us. And so we should remember then that the do this and live commandments that we see in the Old Testament following the Mosaic covenant often, do this and live, do this and live, which he brings out here. They're based upon the foundation of faith and those who are already the people of God. So you see in after the Mosaic covenant, those who are the people of God, redeemed, God commands do this and live. Because if you don't do this, if you don't follow the law, you're showing that you don't really believe. And therefore you're not going to live eternally. And then the rest of the passage in Martha's house where Jesus would rebuke her for her worldly care. She's worried about, like godly women were at that time, worried about taking care of visitors that have come into the house, being hospitable. And then he rebukes her for that because Jesus is there. It's not that she was, the problem was that she was serving. It was that because Jesus was there, she should be most, first and foremost, sitting at his feet, listening to his word. And that's what Mary was doing. So Mary is commended by Jesus because she cares about her soul and she's listening to Jesus. And so we are to sit at the feet of Jesus and take great care to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word, especially at the appointed times of corporate worship, so that we may go out encouraged to love our neighbors and do and serve them. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your graciousness, your mercy to us, how you showed compassion for us like the Samaritan did to this man who was beaten and left for dead. Before you ever showed compassion on us, we were left for dead. We were left for dead by many in this world, some even in the church, who saw us and never told us the gospel when you had given them opportunity. And yet we're thankful that you brought about someone like the Samaritan, and you had them preach the gospel to us that we heard and we at once believed, or over time believed. We're thankful that you brought about such servants for your kingdom. We pray that we would not be like the Levite or the priest who walk away and turn on our backs on those who are dying and left for dead. But Father, we ask that you would give us great diligence and strength, the right words to make a good defense, to be able to proclaim the truth, to show mercy, and to help those in need, not just with the gospel, but even with those things physical, to be hospitable, and to serve where we're able to serve, to show the love of Christ, that we would do unto others as we'd have done unto ourselves, and so love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, we pray that we would, on the Lord's Day especially, as you set apart this day, the Sabbath day, as a day, morning and evening, when we gather for worship and we sit at your feet like Mary did. Father, we ask that you would give us great diligence to attend upon the means of grace, to attend the meetings of corporate worship that you have given to us in morning and evening. And when we forsake those times, as Hebrews 10 says, forsaking the assembling together, we ask that we would be encouraging those who do forsake to attend upon your worship, to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. There is nothing better in this life that we can have but this time right now where we sit at your feet. And so let us encourage many in love to do so, to sit at your feet before your throne. Father, we're thankful that you grant us strength. And we pray that you would strengthen our bodies to serve you and worship you this day and for years to come, for the rest of our lives. We pray for the children here, that they would love you and profess your name publicly and be saved. We pray for any others, adults, the oldest among us, that they too would believe and profess their faith publicly. We pray that you would equip us, equip the saints, and use the elders to do this. Equip the saints for ministry, to serve. Father, we're thankful that you're also God who not only strengthens our bodies, but you're God who strengthens our souls. And so disciple us in this time. Continue giving us ears to hear, that we would hear your word, and you would comfort us and encourage us while you're rebuking us and teaching us and training. We know that training us in righteousness as we train in any job is sometimes difficult and taxing on our bodies. And so, Father, strengthen us, not only in our bodies, but our souls. Father, we are a sinful people. We have great remaining sin. And we plead that you would cleanse us. Cleanse us of our sin. Cleanse us, as we'll see in the sacrifices we'll hear about in a few moments. By cleansing us and by disciplining us, we would be able to love you all the more and have that much more joy, have that much more love, have that much more faith, because you clean us. Cleanse us of our sins and lead us not into temptation. We know these are your promises, that these things you will do with your people. And so we pray this in great faith, knowing you will answer according to your will, according to your promises, because you're a faithful God. We know that you will hear us because we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen.